Daystar. Let's talk about Daystar just a moment. And the reason I've chosen that title, Daystar, we have many questions about what was the light that was spoken of in the first chapter of Genesis in verses 2 and 3, because the sun and the moon and the stars weren't created until on along the third and fourth day. So I want you to open your Bibles, if you will, to Proverbs, the fourth chapter with me. And let's talk about light just a little bit. A very simple subject, and it's something we hear that even becomes redundant. He is the light. His light shines. And we really lose the depth if we're not careful concerning the light. So we got Proverbs just right after that great book of Psalms. Chapter 4. This is one of my favorite chapters anyway. While some are turning there, I've got to read the 7th verse of this 4th chapter before we get down to the nitty-gritty. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. I love that verse. I really do. Because all wisdom comes from God, and in a sense, you see the parallel of the light. Because inasmuch as all wisdom that is worth anything, street wisdom, hey, all right, if you're going out on the streets, you better have it, all right? But the only eternal wisdom comes from our Father. He has written us a letter. All things will come to pass exactly as they are written. So if you want to be successful, be ahead of the rush. This is the way you get ahead of the rush in everything. It's through His Word exactly as it comes to pass. Now, let's drop on, if we may, then, to the 15th verse. I'm sorry, let's take at the 14th verse of this 4th chapter. And it reads, enter not into the path. I want you to note the subject is the path. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not into the way. Way is a road or a path of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. That means don't even get close to it. If you think you're headed that way, head a different direction, spiritually and mentally. Turn from it and pass away. 16, for they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. It would seem that these do unto your brothers before he does unto you type people must always plot and connive, and rather than thinking in a prosperous way as to how they can get ahead on their own merit, they want to rip somebody off, all right? I'm just using that as an example. Negative, bad thought. I hope that when you're successful, you can look back and say, I did it my way. I did it on my own. I didn't rip anybody off. I didn't ruin anybody. I made it because I'm wise in the way of my Father. All right? 17. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. Everything, their entire intake, mentally and spiritually, is how to get ahead the wrong way. And I'm going to tell you something. When you get ahead with God's blessings, there's no sin in being rich and prosperous. That is God's blessings. But to be rich with ill-gotten gain is a sin. You just lost. You're going to have to unload your pack before you're going to get through the eye of the needle or the camel's gate. Verse 18. But the path, again, note path, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. In other words, the light is the path. Now, there's a great deal in that, a lot of depth, and we're going to try to get in there and pull that out. The way of the wicked is as darkness. Who is darkness? Satan. Confusion. They know not at what they stumble. They stumble around through life. They're unhappy. And they stumble because they don't know what's in the road. And when you're familiar with your Father's Word, then the light is the path, or your path is lighted. Now, I want to draw from this a little bit, if I may. And I want you to listen very closely. The light, of course, the chief light is our Father. But understand this, through the Son, of course, that inasmuch as this path is the light is important, but it's not the most important thing. Now, I want you, this is where I want you to listen real good, because I don't want you to say, Arnold Murray said the light wasn't important. That was not what I said. I said the light is important, but the source is more important. You see, many people say, in doing good works, then your light can shine. False. Your light must first shine, and then you will do good works. Because the path is the path you walk and work. It is the light. And as you are working, that light will shine. Example, Christ would not do a miracle if there was not evidence of that light shining in any soul he ever touched or performed a miracle. And that evidence of the light shining is faith. He would not perform a miracle or bless anyone except they already had that light, which is to say, faith, and man only reflects that light. Man, if you would, and I'm not putting down man, but unfortunately sometimes man says, when I walk into a room, the room just lights up because I'm a Christian. A lot of eyes in there, okay? Let me tell you something. You ain't nothing but a lampstand. You ain't nothing but a lampstand, and they come in all colors and shapes and sizes and everything else. That's all man is when you're walking that path. You're a lampstand. In other words, what is a lampstand utilized for? Well, to hold the light bulb, basically. There we're getting a little more important. But it's the source that keeps the light coming that is most important. So, if you want God's blessings, He's not going to touch you. He's not going to help you. You can pray all you want to. But if you don't have the light within you, which is to say the evidence of faith, that means you believe. You're wasting your time. You're playing games. And God Himself, man may not be able to see the evidence of faith in you. But should that be of great importance to you? No. You don't really care whether man can see the evidence of faith in you or not. Christ does. Christ does see the faith in you. You can't hide it from Him, nor can you fool Him. He sees right through you in that respect. Now, the reason something that is this simple is very difficult to teach is because, or can be, is because it's all symbolic. Because the eye of man cannot see into the dimension within which God performs His miracles, that is to say, His force, His power, where the source is. And don't make something melodramatic out of that. We're made in His image. He looks just like we do. And so on and so forth. Only He doesn't have pimples, though. All right? But there is that realm of the spiritual that we can sense. And there are times, if you've ever been around death, whereby in the transition of dying, people do see into that dimension, and as much as they recognize someone that has passed on maybe 15, 20 years before. So there is a lot that a man cannot understand. Therefore, we use symbology, but then the example was given to us to use that symbology, and we must make the best of it. So let's recap just a little bit. What is the light, as far as you or a Christian is concerned, that is most apt to be utilized in your daily life? It's the path. What path? The path that Christ set for us that we must follow. That's work. Again, your works won't get it done for you. But if you have the light, which means you have the Spirit from the source, when you walk that path, which is doing your work, a Christian always works, whether it's planting a seed or whatever. And I was bouncing this off of Anna a little bit, and she said, yeah, that's interesting. Man is a lampstand, but we have our various gifts, and a watch repairman must have a very direct light, and it must be, you know, concentrated and focused right down to his little wheelie. That's my word, not hers, all right? Whereas in your living room, you might even read with indirect lighting. So God is not limited. So let's not try to put any limits or cut and dried concerning this path. But Proverbs 4 states the path is the light. And when you travel that path, you're going to be in that light. For there is only one path for the Christian. And that is the path that was set forth for us by Yeshua Messiah in the role of Christ. Now, let's go back, if we may, after having covered that, to the very beginning. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, that's right at the front of the book. Oh, my. I don't have to tell you. I'm glad I don't have to tell you all that, but I get a kick out of it anyway. Suffer with me, all right? Verse 1 of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, period. You all know there's no date to that. It was millions of years ago. And the earth was without form and void, or in the Hebrew was tuhu vabuhu, which is to say it became void and without form. In other words, Satan rebelled and God destroyed the world age that was. And darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved. Don't overlook that. What moved? The Ruach, the Spirit of God, moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning was the first day. Now that's the very first day. If you like, skip on down with me to the 14th verse. And here, we're coming up on the fourth day. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day and the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights. The greater light to rule the day. Now listen to me carefully. The greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. Those stars and the sun and the moon he made for signs. But what was that light that actually came in and separated the day from night back in the first day, basically, you might say? It was the Spirit of God, the source. And even to this day, when you follow Christ, when you follow the Father, every prophecy that is given concerning God's children that see, it is given in days, not moons. Not that lesser light of the night. I'm going to repeat that. Every prophecy given by our Father concerning His children is given in days, such as 1,260 days versus 42 months. 42 months was given to Antichrist, Satan, in the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation. Now, which light then did he provide for the night? The moon. But let me ask you something. Does the moon give off light? Now think about it before you answer in your mind. Does the moon give off one speck of light? Answer, no. It only copies, if I may use that, or reflects the light of the day, which is to say the sun, or he that is the day star. There is no other source of true light. There is no other source of wisdom. There is no other source of wisdom inasmuch as it all comes from my Father. And I've got news for you. There's no other source of blessings. And I'm going to tell you something. You really, the reason you hear me talk about God's blessings so much is you need them. You really need them. If you ever think you can cut out, hitchhike across country, the patch, I'm speaking spiritually now, and get out of the path, you're not going to get any blessings. Now, God may cut a new way. I don't want to inhibit anyone from God speaking to them and saying, you'll go this way if you think the path is that way. God has made exceptions and cut new roads. So, enough said, or we'll be digressing. But you need God's blessings to be successful, to have peace of mind, because quite frankly, without peace of mind, no one else is going to listen to you. I could say that a different way. If you don't have the light, the true light, nobody's going to listen to you. Not for long. Because it is in itself a gift. And again, the light's important, but it's not the most important. And you must always remember that. It has a very humbling effect, my friends. It's the source of the light that is most important. The source of the light that is most important. Let's turn, if we may, to 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to run you around a little bit today, but that's good for you. Right over, getting on pretty close to the book of Revelation there. We got 1 and 2 Peter tucked in there somewhere. We want the second book of Peter. As we turn to it there in chapter 1, we're going to pick it up about verse 19. And verse 19 reads, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. I tell you, I want to back up. I'm sorry. I'm kind of running you around there, but I want to back up. Let's go to 17. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. What happened when those words came over and those words came forth? It was the Holy Spirit speaking, and there was a great light. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. We have a more what? A more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that you take heed, that you really pay attention, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, a dark sinful world to be exact, unto the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Where is that day star going to arise? In your hearts, which means in your mind. And what did I say about the day star previously? The day star can shine right in the middle of the day. when you have it in your mind. It can shine all night long. It shines all the time. For the day star is the prophecy that God shall never depart from you. He shall never leave you alone. Why? He is the source of the day star. The light that is carried on your lampstand is important. But the source, our Father, is more important. We have the three offices. And the three offices were created for man's sake, not God's sake. Because man can only take so much at one time. God can handle only so much at one time in God's overall plan of salvation. But you have that light, and I don't care how dark your day gets. And boy, it can get pretty dark sometimes. Even for a believer, if you're not careful, you can be hog-swoggled into saying, oh, woe is me. Lord, everybody's turned against me. And a loved one can hurt more than anyone else. This wouldn't have hurt so bad, but my own wife turned against me. You know, I won't use husband and wife example. Somebody you really trust and love, a friend, a good friend. Boy, when they do it to you, that hurts more than if somebody out on the street did. You know? But Satan knows that, and that's why he'll cause trouble. But he'll try to work a little bit of darkness in there. But I'm going to tell you something. If I put a light right here, and it's putting out candle power there, and we put a petition right here, it may be dark in that part of the room, but the light's still there, my friend. And you've allowed Satan sometimes to curtain your heart and mind with his shades. Has he ever pulled the shade or the shutters on you? Sometimes he just closes them a little bit at a time, you know. And you say, well, I can handle this. It's getting a little bad, but, you know, I'll keep going. And next thing you know, boy, I mean, he just blocked it off. And if you're not careful, you can come apart. Shows you the lampstand's not that important. It's the light that is important, and even more important than the light, the source. The source is your Father. Your Father gave orders that the Ruach should move upon the waters, and it did. The source, our loving Father, is the most important. Does that mean you're of no use? No. You know, sometimes if you don't have a socket to put a bulb in, it could burn and scorch everything. You know, you can't just lay it on the floor. You've got to have something to hold it up there. And you don't let anybody put a bushel over your light. All those things apply. But back to the basics. Your works do not create the light. The light in you causes you to do the work. Our Father is so good to us. Okay, we're right here in 2 Peter. I want to go back to James, right before 1 Peter there. Little bit of short book, and you'll miss it if you're not careful. You'll turn right through it. James, I want to go to chapter 1. James was written to the 10 tribes that went north. So this is very important to you. Let's pick it up with verse 17. For every gift and every perfect gift is from above. Have you tried to find yours down here on earth? My, what a waste of time. Every gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, the source. Shadow of turning. I mean, it's guaranteed. You can plug into that socket and let your little old kilowatt shine any time. When you plug into that socket, you can put out the candle power. He is not changeable, but he will do nothing except there be a candle stand, except there be a man, woman, or child of faith And then he will do something. You want a little reminder of that? Jesus, when he went among his own people, could not work any miracles there. Why? There was no belief. There was no faith. There was no light. Do you create a lampstand for him? Have you got the light? Think about it. All gifts come from him. What is your gift? You haven't found it yet? That's okay. It's all right. But if you're hearing his word, you have a purpose. You have a use. And God will use you. Verse 18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures, or of his creation. Some of you have a destiny and a purpose, or you wouldn't hear his truth, and you know it. Some of you might say, well, I wonder why I'm even here. It's God's will. God created you from above and gifted you by his own will. Why? He loves you. You know what first fruits are? You see, we can take so much for granted as a student of God's word that everybody knows what first fruits are. It's those that receive a double portion, his elect. He created them for a purpose, a very special purpose, to be the lampstand to the rest of the world, in a way, if you would. But that's all just a lampstand. The lampstand is not as important as the light, but the light's important. So is the lampstand. But the source is far more important. 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Oh, I wish I could master that one. You know, sometimes I fly off a little bit, and you know, about once every 6 months. I told Anna this morning, I said, I know it's hard for you to understand this, but I'm not perfect. I thought she was going to faint, really. I really did. Okay, so verse 20. For the wrath of... Need I say, I'm not saying I'm perfect. I was teasing her, okay? I forget, some of you that have never met me before, I'm Irish, and that kind of gets out from under the blanket every once in a while, you know? Okay. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be... Where we got that one? 20. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. I've got news for you. Just about anything man does doesn't work righteousness from God. As a matter of fact, you are all familiar with that old scripture, and I'll bet it comes to almost every one of your minds. Our righteous acts are as filthy rags compared to the source, compared to our Father. Father gives gifts. That's why I wanted to come to this particular book. And he created you because he wanted you. His own will caused you to be because he wanted you. And in this world, you came from above. Your soul came from him. And they're gifted souls. They're precious. And they create that lampstand that holds the light. Don't forget the purpose. That's why some of this is going to sound like I'm repeating myself, but I want to nail this home. The lampstand holds the lamp, which is the light, to say, and it's important. But the most important thing is the source. Don't ever forget it or you'll cut yourself off. The blessings will stop flowing to you if you ever forget that. You can't con our Father. Yes, he loves you. Yes, he created you. But that means he will want you. He will correct you. Just like when you love your children, if you see they're doing something, they're going to get hurt, what are you going to do? Give them a nice talking to? Once, maybe. Twice, maybe. Love your children. If you see they're doing something, they're going to get hurt, what are you going to do? Give them a nice talking to? Once, maybe. Twice, maybe. Thrice, look out, woodshed. Why? Because you hate the child? No, you love it. And which is hurt the most, the child or you, if you really love it? You are. Always. Okay? So, gifts are given, and our Father loves His children. All right, let's go to the book of Matthew. Book of Matthew. I want to go to chapter 6, and I'm not going to run you around too much more. We're pretty well going to stay in Matthew except for closing. And the 6th chapter, and let's see, we're going to pick it up about the 22nd verse here. Did you note in one of those he said that the light or the reflection is in your heart? I want to talk about the inner light for just a moment, if I may. And we can pick that up in that 22nd verse. Because the light actually dwells within you. And when you have that light, and it is true, when you walk into a room, you are so sure of yourself that other people can sense that. And if there's one thing people are drawn to, it's somebody that really is solid, intelligent, wise, with wisdom from God's Word, not a know-it-all. Wise with God's Word, compassion, and the light reflects, and they find peace and answers from you. It's like pouring oil on a stormy sea that brings a soul in out of a dark night and gives it hope. And hope being that, if you would, evidence with faith that documents the fact to our Father that you bear that light. So, let's cover the inner light, if we may. Verse 22. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, think of it as clear. Clear, where it really, I mean, you know, have you ever had a, you've been driving your old car out and on a country road and whoosh, you, especially over in Oklahoma where they got that good red clay. And I mean, it just covers that little rascal over solid, and your old light goes dim, see? And you can get out, better if you wait till it dries, if you don't have a cloth, because then it'll just rub off pretty good. And it's clear where it really shines through. That's the point, okay? Single being clear. Thy whole body shall be full of light. If you clear out all the things of this world and all ego trips and all self-pride and everything else and realize that your source must come from without. It's not within. Your source must be absorbed from without. But then it's beautiful because you have it within you. That same powerful force. Is it you? No, it comes from the source. But you have it. Verse 23, but if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? I can tell you how great it is. You let one little old blemish get into your eye, and that is to say something of self, God's going to pull your drawstring right there, friend. He's going to close off the whole thing. He's not going to bless you. Therefore, you must exclude. You must totally trust your Father. He knows we're not perfect, and there is no one perfect among us. We all fall short. But as long as you're trying, and as long as if you ever for a minute think that self might be getting in the way of your ministry, your witness, your work, then you better pray to the Father to help you get rid of it. And you better unload your wagon quick, because you ain't nothing but a walking, know-it-all, self-righteous hypocrite in a little while, because he'll pull your string. And Satan comes to work then. Do you know what he says to you? Once Satan, see, if it really turned black and you knew it was dark and it was night, and Satan was dealing with you, anybody would wake up. But that's not the way Satan works. About the time God pulls your drawstring, in your mind, it becomes clear. Because Satan is going to say, what a wonderful man of God you are. you really are something. You are somebody. You know. You know in your own heart you're special. These are dangerous words. You listen to me. That's what Satan says to you. And unfortunately, many people agree with him. Yeah, I know it. You're a good judge of character. I knew it all the time. I'm really somebody. God needs me. You know? Now, and you see, this seems to the person brighter. And the light shines. But it's black, dark, and self. Okay? Now, never let that take away from your gift of God. Therefore, I repeat again, and you'll grow tired of hearing it, the lampstand is important. The light is important. But the source is far more important. Because if you cut the source, you've got nothing. What good is a lampstand without a light? If its source is cut, for the source that Satan will put forth, and the moon does not have any light on its own, it only reflects that is good, meaning instead of Christ, you've got a false Christ that can only reflect what it draws. He draws from the sun the role that was promised for him, with him, true Messiah. Can the false Messiah walk in, reflecting that light and saying, I am? So don't be playing those little old games in your own mind. And let Satan play his own little tricks in a mini way with your heart. The lampstand is good. The light is good. The source is more important. Okay, let's turn, if we may, back. Let's stay in Matthew. Let's go back to chapter... That's the inner light that should be in you. Don't ever forget where it comes from. It's important. It comes from your Father. Let's go back to the fourth chapter here in Matthew. Pick it up, if we may, in the 12th verse. This was prophecy. It has to do with, even in a sense, the migrations, all right, from Zebulun and Naphtali. Now, when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, that would be John the Baptist, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is to say the city of consolation, which is upon the coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali. In other words, this prophecy had to be fulfilled, and here it is, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Esaias, or Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness. Have you ever sat in darkness? Every last one of us have. That sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. Boy, when you see that you've moved back in the corner and got out of the focus of that light, you get yourself popping. You get yourself cracking. And you get back into the light, for it is there for your privilege and purpose that you can come to it and shuck off all negative thought, basically, that will make something out of you. A lampstand that carries the true lamp, which draws from the source. The shadow of death is upon all. The shadow of death is he that passed over, that angel of death, on the first night of Passover, when all those that did not have the blood of the Lamb, which is to say the light upon them, died, that were the firstborn, which is what? First fruits. Happens to first fruits as well. Remember back in first, when we were reading from Peter? We were reading for James? By God's will, he gave gifts and really wanted you to be a first fruit. One of the first ones to see and understand, especially in that generation, when this prophecy would come to pass. So, what is my point? I came here to show you that as simple as light is, It's all written. It was not written only in the New Testament. It was written in the first three verses of the book of Genesis. It was written concerning Zebulun. That prophecy came to pass, and it was fulfilled at that very moment, that instant. The light that was shining from that cross, and it was making the way for our sins, that it causes death to depart us, and allow that light to come into your mind with forgiveness. And, you know, I think I want to read it, because I said that word forgiveness. If I remember what the verse or two passed, I want to read it. 17. For from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, it was that time. It had come to pass. I want to go one more place in this book of Matthew. I think it's chapter 5. Right in the following verse. I want to start with verse 14. May this encourage you. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. In other words, light, I don't care if it's 10 miles away and the horizon doesn't hide it, you can see that light most usually. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Now, where does the light go? On a candlestick or a lampstand. Don't forget your part, all right? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. If you were to turn to John, don't, we're going to close pretty quick. If you were to turn to John, I think it's the 8th chapter and the 12th verse, it would say there that Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the light to the world. Now, listen to me closely, because this is one of those statements that if you misunderstand it, it could offend you. But I want you to see something. I want you to think about something. And it has to do with the light and the source. Did it say Jesus was the light to heaven? No, it didn't say that. It said Jesus is the light of the world. Why? It's his office. Now keep your mind with me. The light is important, but the source is more important. And while you are in this world, your light that is a reflection of Christ's light, what does Jesus mean? Yeshua, which is what? God's Savior. Do the people in heaven need saving? That office won't fly there. Because I'm going to tell you something. I don't think you will ever read of anybody ever having been saved in heaven. You mean to say that again? I don't think you will ever read that anyone has been saved while they were abiding or living in heaven. It happens here. And that's what the office of Messiah is as Savior. That does not take one whit away from the Son, because if you have seen Him, you have seen the Father. But God makes things simple for we human beings, whereby we can have a better grasp for the offices, including the Holy Spirit, which was the first light on this world, the Spirit of God in this earth age. So think about it. The light's important, but the source is more important. Your Father loves you very much. I hope you never forget what He stated to you in 1 James, verse 17. All gifts come from God. And in closing, open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 21. I believe it's verse 23. We're going to close with that. As far as the Scripture is concerned. In Revelation 21:23, where the end of the millennium has come to pass, where that's where a whole bunch of saving is going to happen, but it happens right here on earth. And there will be many that will return from paradise that had no opportunity that will be saved on earth. But all saving must come under Messiah, who is the Savior. That is past. The lake of fire has been sealed over. Satan and all the wicked have been destroyed. And we read in this 23rd verse, "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." The light is important. Did it say that the sun and the moon were needed any more so than it did back in Genesis chapter 1, verses 2 and 3? When the Spirit of God became that light? No, that's all that's necessary. And when our eye is able to understand that that shall be, there are instruments that can measure the reflection of light that is reflected from a human being. But I've got news for them. It does not originate inside that human being. It comes from the source, for there is only one source of life, and that is the Creator of life. Yes, the lampstand is very important. It holds the light whereby it's easy to use for people. If you want me to say that again, it's very important. It's a simple saying, but it's very important. The lampstand holds the light whereby it can be useful to people that need light. It's important, but the light is more important than the lampstand. And beloved, the source is even more important than that. Don't ever allow Satan to confuse your priorities. And you'll always have the blessings of God. And you will have an understanding that many people desire. And it makes you special. Because then you are gifted. And you are one of God's first fruits. Sometimes we hear sayings such as, "Let your light shine," and it becomes redundant, and we grow immune to its true meaning. Don't ever let the true light seem meaningless to you, for it is your life, your eternal life. Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you, Father, for your precious truth. Thank you for being with us in this study. May we always, Father, if Satan attempts to build up egos, that you will remind us through the light, Father, that the light begins to dim. Let us know at that time the true light from that false reflection, and know that we are a lampstand that is very necessary in carrying forth thy word. We thank you, Father, for the privilege of being servants of thine. We ask it in Yeshua Jesus' precious name. Amen.